Hallelujah. That ought to get some of you shouting it out a little bit. He's everything. He is the reason for the season. Some boy, Joe, thank you. Man, got me all pumped up. Amen. If you got your Bibles, let's do some preaching in the book of Matthew today. I'm going to talk a little bit. In the next two or three weeks, I'm going to talk about the first coming of Jesus. I'm glad it came the first time. But I want you to know he is going to come again. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise him. Look at Matthew 1 and verse number 18. I'll read down to verse 25, familiar verses. I know you're familiar with them. I'm going to talk about the birth of Jesus and just how it went down. How the birth went down. I like it, boy. I love to hear the story. Amen. Look at the passage with me and stand to your feet to Matthew 1 verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. Now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Whoo! And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, help us just to unfold the story these next few weeks the best we can. Thank you for what you've done for us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want you to do me a favor. Will you flip your fingers and go right back to the last book of the Bible for me? Will you do that? Just go back to the last book of the Bible, the book of Malachi, and I want to read to you how Malachi ended. Are you there? That's Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The Old Testament, Chad, ends up with a curse. The Old Testament ended up with a curse. You know what God done to his people, Israel? And by the way, I want all y'all to know something. If you're a Holocaust denier, listen to me. Hello. If you're a Jew hater, listen to me. God loved the Jew. Amen. You said, how much did he love them? Well, he gave them the scripture. 40 human authors, and I know 39 of them were Jewish. Somebody help me. Hey, not only did God give them the scripture, God gave them the Savior. He said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I want you to know, Jesus wasn't a Gentile. Jesus was a Jew. Amen. Somebody help me preach. And I'll tell you what else God gave him. God gave him spiritual blessings. I want to tell you, we are still blessed with all of them. Hey, hallelujah. We're a wild olive branch. We've been grafted in. Somebody say amen right there. God. And by the way, well, here's what God was saying. That group had got so wicked, got so low down, got so miserable in their sin, they offered polluted bread, their priests were corrupt, their prophets were corrupt, and God was saying to them, I'm turning the lights out on you. Amen. Somebody help me preach. I'm going to stop talking to you. By the way, I want you to, ain't nothing more miserable than God start dealing with you. And God would not ignore their immortality. God would not ignore their sin. And there was 400 years of darkness between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then God told Matthew to pick up his pen. Whoa! After 400 years, God did not speak to his people. Matthew, pick your pen up and tell them, I'm into my silence. The gloom is about over. Gladness is about to come on. I'm getting ready to change everything. Whew. I want you to know something. Jesus is the answer. Somebody help me to the Old Testament prophecies. He's the answer to the Old Testament ceremonies. This world is in a discouraging place, a depressing place, a defiled world, a disappointed world. But I'm glad that the birth of Jesus was on this wise. I want to just tell you how it came down. Whoa! Aren't you glad he sent a Savior? Let me give you four or five things. I'm just going to give you a little preaching from Matthew 1 this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, his majestic pedigree. Look at verse number 1. It says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of God. I started to preach on God's ancestry.com. He was the son of David. That speaks of his royal timelessness. One of these days he's going to sit on the throne of David. Somebody help me preach right there. He's going to rapture us out before the tribulation. Then he's going to get us on white horses, and we're going to come back after the tribulation, and we're going to come down through the valley of Megiddo, and the blood will be up to the horse's bridle. And I don't know why I'm going to all this, but I'm going anyhow. And it's going to be up to the horse's bridle. He's going to come down the Malal is going to cleave. He's going to come right on down through that Muslim cemetery, rip that cemetery up, go down through the Eastern Gate, set upon the throne of David. And by the way, David's going to be his co-regent there. Somebody help me preach. Not only was that the seed, I love it. He's the son of David, that's his royal timelessness. He was also the son of Abraham. That's his racial tie. Come on, help me. You say, you're preaching. And then I see in this chapter of his genealogy, I see his redemptive touch. How many of y'all glad he came for sin? He came to die for sin. You say, what redemptive touch is here? Have y'all ever read this genealogy? Look at me. How many of y'all's ever read it real careful? I want y'all all to know That thing's full of misfits. Full of misfits. You said, Preacher Smith, I'm a wicked, low-down somebody, and I don't even know if God even saved old wicked like me. Yes, he will. He done proved it in Matthew. Look at some of the people found in there. I'll just tell them who they are so y'all don't have to look so far. There's a woman there named Tamar. You go read the Genesis, I think, 38, 39. She's the one that dressed up to disguise herself and went in and had relationship with her father-in-law. You said she's in the genealogy of Jesus. Not just her. How about Bathsheba? She's there too. How about Rahab the harlot? She's there too. And a bunch of people that were there, well, glory. They wasn't the firstborn either. Somebody help me preach. What are you saying, Preacher Smith? Because he came the first time, that means he'll redeem anybody and can redeem anybody, anytime, anywhere. I got a Savior that has redemptive touch this morning. Help me remember the day he saved you and touched you and pulled you out of sin. Thank God for his majestic pedigree. Whew. And you study this, he had a retained trail. His bloodline from Abraham to Jesus. That devil tried to pollute it all the way down. He tried to pollute it by killing all the kids in Egypt. He tried to pollute it by David himself and his sin, and Solomon and his wickedness, married all them wicked women and all their children, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, you know all the booms. That was all wicked. But I want you to know something. It did not deter God. It did not. God retained his integrity and retained the bloodline until we got down to Nathan and Mary. Somebody help me preach. I love talking about this stuff. Amen. Then I see he's right for throne. By the way, this world don't revolve around Donald Trump and his tweets. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody help me preach. It don't revolve around Nancy Pelosi, and she's a nut anyhow. And No. They can't legislate him out. They can't vote him out. He, before the foundation of the world, it was already decided he'd come. Well, let me go a little further. Look at verse 18. Whew. Am I preaching? I see his miraculous phenomenon. Jesus was born of Mary. She was his mother. Now, I've got to say something to you. I'm going to be as kind as I possibly can. Mary was favored, but Mary wasn't sinless. And Mary's not supposed to be worshipped. And Mary didn't step on the snake, Jesus did. Amen. Hello. And any religion that exalts Mary to the place of being a mediator is a false religion. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Preacher, you're going to offend a lot of people. Well, I open my mouth and it offends people. But the truth is, there's only one mediator. But he did choose her. And she was engaged and betrothed to Joseph. By the way, back then, engagement and betrothal was as sacred as our marriages. To get out of an engagement betrothal, you actually had a writ of divorcement. To get out of an engagement. Yes, sir. And that's why Joseph was going to put her away privately. Could you imagine this phenomenon? Hey, God come over Joseph, put him to sleep. He said, I want you to know something. What's in her is a child of the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all might be thinking, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that that baby was conceived of the Holy Ghost? Do you really believe that in the 21st century you still believe in the virgin birth? I got one of them new Bibles and it said, it didn't say it was a virgin, it said it was a good woman. What kind of sign is a good woman? That's a bunch of good women. But there's one sign that it was a virgin. Somebody help me with this phenomenon. And I did a little study in verse 16. That word born of woman, that's in the feminine gender. Most every time, if you read it, all the way through the Bible, Brother Chad, it's in the male gender because we get our bloodline from the male. You know what God's saying? Man's blood's tainted. Man's blood's sinful. Man's blood's filthy. And I'm going to bypass man and I'm going to conceive Jesus in her. And she's going to be conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the blood that runs in his veins is the blood of God. Amen. Through these difficult circumstances, God had a divine conception. And he had a definitive coordination. You see, when all that happened, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, before the world began, had a staff meeting. Had a staff meeting. The Father said, I know man's going to sin, and I know man's going to fall into sin. And I want you to know, Son, will you go and do something about it? And the Son of God stood up in a board meeting and said, I will go. I'll leave my glory behind. I'll take the form of a servant and be made in the likeness of man. And I will go and I will die and I will shed my blood. And the Holy Ghost stood up in the staff meeting and said, well, if you thought about rot it and he bought it, I'll do the rest. I'll rot it. And I know Satan fights it, but I caught it. Somebody say amen. I want you to know, you look at me. This is a cardinal doctrine of our church, the virgin birth of Jesus. If he was not virgin born, you're all in your sin. You ought to just walk out of the church, go get a Santa Claus and get on his lap. And if that's all it's about, but I want to tell you, it's more than that. It was God sending his son, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. You said, I don't believe that. That's biologically impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. You know what's wrong with religion? We don't believe in the supernatural. We had a supernatural creation. And by the way, you had a supernatural birth. And he had a supernatural birth. Somebody ought to shout glory. Amen. You know, I think some of us are knuckleheads. We're so religious and so ignorant. Something that if we can't explain it, we don't believe it. Come on now, am I preaching? Oh, if I can't explain, I can't believe that virgin birth. I can't believe in the glorious resurrection. I can't believe somebody raised from the dead. That's all faith. Am I preaching? Yes, then I see his ministering proclamation. I want all of y'all to know this Jesus story, it's a God thing. Then his manifested prophecy. Look in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Can I say this to you? The very place he was born was predicted in the Old Testament. But Bethlehem, you're afraid of, though thou be littlest among the thousands. Did they say that? And then the special person, if you read Psalm 22, 23, and 24, you see in Psalm 22 the death of Christ predicted. You see in Psalm 23 the resurrection of Christ predicted. And see in 24 the glorious coming again of Christ. He was a good shepherd that died for my sin. He's a great shepherd that raised from the dead for my sin. And he's the chief shepherd who's coming back one day. Somebody help me preach. Whew. Manifest prophecy. And then the sovereign plan. For unto you a child is born. A son is given. And the weight of government shall be on his shoulders. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful. That's real good for the dullness of life. His name shall be called Counselor. That's pretty good for the decisions of life. His name shall be called Mighty God. That's real good for the dangers of life. He's also called Everlasting Father. That's good for the duration of life. And he's called the Prince of Peace, Judy. That's good for the disturbances of life. His name shall be called Jesus. Are you disturbed? Do you need to make a decision? His name is Jesus. He's matchless in his person. Somebody help me preach. How many believe the greatest thing ever happened to you is when you met Jesus? He took away your sin. Hey, somebody say, where's your sin, preacher? It's gone. My sin's gone. Whoa. The match, there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know why some of these churches ain't having church tonight? Because that name ain't real to them. Nah, it ain't real to them. They're going to have some cell meeting with some idiot with a donut and some coffee or a little glass of wine tonight and forget church. You know why I'm coming to church tonight? Because I got a Savior. Amen. He was virgin born. He lived a perfect life. He died on Calvary's tree. He rose from the grave. It's real. I want to tell you what I got's real. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it. Somebody, I'm well, glory. You said you get excited. I've been told this week, preacher, please slow down. You're acting like you're 27. He's in me. It's just so big. Don't you think the Christmas stories ought to be big? It's the biggest thing in the world. It's what got y'all all out of sin. And it's what get the rest of you out of sin that's here in the church. You visit today and you're lost and you're thinking I'm some kind of crazy man. But I want you to know Jesus, there's three names for Jesus. That's the name for our Savior. His name is Christ. He's our Messiah. His name is Manuel. That means God is with us. Somebody help me preach. He's the prophet. He's the priest. And he's the king. And all you need to do this morning, you don't come here and get saved by works or do something good. You come here and trust him. Bow your head, I'm finished. It's bowed. How many of y'all met him? How many's met him and you're saved? You know it. Raise your hand, you met him. Hold him up high if you met him. Don't hold him up if you haven't. Thank you. How many folk come to church today and you've never met him? You've never been saved. But he came to die for you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be saved by that Savior. Let me just raise your hand right now and say, I've never been saved, but I want you to pray for me. I'll get saved before I die, before the Lord comes, and I want that joy you're preaching about. I want my sins forgiven. Just slip your hand up and let me pray for you. Anybody here unsaved? Just say, preacher, I'm unsaved. I'm not Christian. I see that hand. Somebody else? Preacher Smith, I'm not a Christian. I don't have that joy. I don't have the reason for the season. My life's so disturbed. My life's so messed up. Preacher, pray for me. Just slip up your hand. Anybody else? If you want Jesus today, won't you come forward? Stand, I'll pray. Our Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for the sweet Spirit of God here today. I'm glad for the birth of Jesus on just how it went down. And God, help folks to trust that same Jesus today. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come? Come on now. If you're here without Jesus, you come on. Never been saved. Come on. Never met him. Come on. Worship him a minute.
How I love Jesus.
Sing it. Do you love him? You'll be in church tonight. Do you love him? You want to reach somebody with the gospel. Do you love him? You'll love other people. Do you love him? It'll make a difference in your life. Last verse, Sister Lois.
Tells me of a Savior's love,
yeah,
who died to set me free. And it tells,
yeah,
me,
man,
of his precious blood.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.